Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, I do.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us.
Today's guest is Sandy Nakashima. Sandy is the owner of Drake's Glen Chocolate Dragon. You know, Sandy, I'm a child of the generation that grew up with I Love Lucy and this, you know, the whole See's Candy one with, you know, Lucy and Ethel shoving the candies into her mouth. So I can imagine why a person might go into the business of making candy for a living. But why did you?
Mine was completely an accident, I want to say. I've always been a crafter or in the food industry. And back in 99, after about almost 12 years of working in the dietary department at General Hospital, I needed a change. Years ago, I had had a craft store in Hawaii. So in 99, I decided candy and craft store would be really fun because I was doing the compound chocolates, which were easy crafter type chocolates. So in 2003, we closed the craft part of it and just started doing the candy, the chocolate creations. So that's where we are now.
Tell me a little bit about the difference between compound chocolates and the chocolates that you're using to make your chocolate creations.
Well, you have the real chocolate, which the chocolate has to be tempered. By the FDA, there's certain standards that you have to follow. There's a certain amount of cocoa butter in there and chocolate liqueur. With compound chocolates, they don't have as much cocoa butter, and they take that out and put hydrogenated oils in, usually. Now there's some of the companies that are starting to use non-hydrogenated oils. But basically, anytime you take out the cocoa butter, what they're doing is making it easy for you so the chocolate sets up. It's good for home and for working with kids and stuff because you can make your chocolate suckers or dip your truffles or make whatever you want. And it sets up by putting it in your fridge or just having the fan blow over it, and works beautifully.
Where do you get your raw ingredients and what do you start with?
Chocolatier originally meant the person's doing from the beans to the bars. Now, because it's such a great little word, everybody out there, instead of going, I make fine chocolates, everybody's saying, oh, I'm a chocolatier. So I've jumped on the bandwagon too. I've got certificates that call me a chocolatier. So, okay, we're a chocolatier. But we really get our chocolate not from the bean. We get it already processed. And the company that we like to use is Guittard. They're out of the Bay Area and one of the best producers in the United States. And they have all different grades of chocolates. So we use a high quality of the Guittard line.
I know you make a wide variety of different types of candies. You make beer truffles. Tell me about the beer truffles. I'm intrigued.
Well, the beer truffles, I decided just to try something different. And I had been reading from a lot of other people that were doing beer truffles. Even in Belgium, I have a chocolatier friend who's going to a special fancy school over there. And he was going to do a whole line with his microbreweries there, and I thought, wow, what a great idea. So I started experimenting, and a lot of times I found that because I'm self-taught, I don't always do the same procedures that everybody else does. Could be good or bad. Usually a truffle is made with cream and then you add whatever alcohol. But I had a friend who was a non-dairy person, so I thought, oh great, if I made the truffle just with beer and chocolate, it could be vegan. And so that's what I did. So I got the beer and the chocolate to cooperate. And yeah, it worked for me and the taste was good. So we started off with the Lost Coast Brewery with some of their beer. And then Mad River Brewery had approached us about using their beer. And yeah, I like their beer too. I like all the local beers. So Yeah, they're all sort of different, but basically it's a vegan truffle because we use the dark chocolate. There's becoming more and more connoisseurs that like the 72% or even higher on the chocolate content or, you know, liqueur content, but I like the semi-sweet, so.
Are there any demographics that you know of? Who likes milk chocolate, who likes dark chocolate, or is it just a personal thing?
Oh gosh, it's got to be just a personal thing. But when I first started, they always said milk chocolate outsold the dark chocolate. Uh-huh. Well, now with all the different health benefits that they found with the dark chocolate, more and more people are switching to dark chocolate. But I have to say, because a lot of us start off on milk chocolate, mm-hmm. the vast majority of people, they can make the switch, okay, I won't do milk anymore, I'll do the dark chocolate, but they still gotta have sugar in there. So
I think I've just found that as I've gotten older, I have more of a taste for dark chocolate. Mm-hmm. I think as a child, I really craved the super sweet milk chocolate, but now I've become more of a dark chocolate. So when you choose to make candies, what is your production like? Is like Wednesday is fudge day and Thursday is truffle day, and you know, how do you determine?
I wish that I could get that organized.
How does that work?
I just can't think that way yet. Uh-huh. It would be very good, but because we make everything by hand, there's not a whole lot of fancy equipment to set up. Like your large places, they have to do that way, where they end up doing just one type of thing during the production. We have smaller melters that hold our chocolate at 91 degrees, and we have a white, we have our milk chocolate and our semi-sweet dark chocolate and a 72% dark chocolate, and then we have one for our blended chocolate that we use for butter almond toffee or pecan clusters, truffles, things like that. So we have five of those going all the time. Uh-huh. And so it's whatever we need, that's what we're making today.
Now, you know, I've been reading a little bit about the candy industry and what has happened. It used to be every town had its chocolate makers. Do you see that there's kind of a return to the more boutique candy?
Yeah. Well, they call them the artisan chocolates. Mm-hmm. And 5 years ago, 6 years ago, it really became a big push for the artisan style before our economy sort of took the nosedive. Mm-hmm. I went to some classes online and also over at UC Davis. Uh-huh. And I was totally amazed at the company I was keeping, people who were trading in their really high-paying executive jobs. Just amazing people that I'm going, wow, and you're getting into chocolate. Uh-huh. It's becoming more and more the thing, the artisan chocolates. And from the bean to the bars, there's some real brilliant people out there now that have taken old equipment and are now making their own chocolates from the beans. But the whole problem is, when this happens and you get the artisan chocolate items going, then you've got Hershey and other people coming along, big companies that decide to end up investing. And what do? They buy out those companies. Because Hershey bought Stauffenberger and Dogaba and Joseph Schmidt Truffles. And then over on the other side, you have Cadbury. Mm-hmm. Who ended up buying the Rhenan Black, I think was the name of the really good chocolate. Uh-huh. But that one's owned by the Cadbury. Uh-huh.
So I know that you make all kinds of different things. You make beer truffles, you make bark, you make fudge, regular truffles, chocolate roses, dipped strawberries, toffee, nut clusters. Do you still love the taste of chocolate?
I love it more now since I make it. I was never the candy eater, I have to say. I made a lot of chocolate and different confectionery for Christmas with my mom and aunts and stuff. But now I do eat more chocolate.
Now, where can people buy your candies?
We have some of the strangest places that sell our chocolate, and we do them incognito sometimes. We design labels for people. Wildberries Marketplace, it says Wildberries, but if you look on the back of the label, you'll see our little green Celtic Norbeast, and you'll see that the chocolate bar is made by us. So there's Wildberries, Figueritos carries our chocolate, Blue Lake Casino, Omquest over here, the lumber place, Companion Animal Foundation, we do a private label for them. I also have an artisan line, which is what the beer truffles are in. And then I do a wine truffle. We're using Willow Creek Red from Winnett Winery in Willow Creek. So we have a wine truffle now, too.
So it sounds like it's important to you to use local products.
I try to as much as possible. There's a lot of good people out here that make wonderful products in Humboldt. I mean, even when we buy things locally, we try to buy as much from local stores, Wildberries, the co-op, you know, different places like that.
This is Jennifer Bell, and thank you so much, Sandy, for meeting with us today and talking about Drake's Glen's chocolates.
Thank you.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, I do.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU and KHSR for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.